Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Glad you're hanging out with me today on Guerrilla Radio. It's Wednesday the 22nd, 2018. 6 p.m. on the left coast, 9 p.m. on the east or the right coast. Today we're going to discuss a topic that's near and dear to me, and I usually keep the shows on the secular side, but I'm going to use some scriptures today because people I'm just going to shout out the title of the show. It's Should Nationalism and Patriotism Be Mandated? I've got open up lines. Give me a call, 347-855-8301. Of course, always let me know. Press 1 and let me know you're in the queue. And I'm going to roll out the intro and get into today's topic. Should nationalism and patriotism be mandated? Just like my friend Zach Della Roca, Rage Against the Machine, all hell can't stop us now. No. I bring this topic up because there's a lot of people, and I'm going to put it in the quotations, the Christian right that believe nationalism and patriotism, a little different feather off the same bird. Nationalism and patriotism, these people want to mandate it. You know the ones. If you don't like it here, leave. That's not what I learned from the scriptures. I learned in the scriptures that God wants me to bear witness with his word. He wouldn't want me to leave without a fight. And all these people that really believe that they cherry pick one or... Look, here's an example. I want to read Romans 13, okay? They cherry pick this first verse, and then the rest of the chapter just disappears, so you have no context. Romans 13, this is from the King James Version of the Bible. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do what is good, and thou shalt have praise for the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this thing. Render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That's not talking about that great verse and the tie-in, that render therefore all their dues. People think that's government. That's not. That's people you interact with. And if they're due a tribute, they did you a favor and a service, voluntarily you pay them back. This is not about being subservient to oligarchs. I don't know how people misconstrue this. They don't, because they cherry pick a verse. They don't read the whole thing. Owe no man anything but love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. It's about love. It's about God's law, not anything that man puts forth. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I just hear that Romans 13, everyone quotes number 7 by itself. Render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom as tribute is due. And they wrap that up in like some kind of status thing. Like you're supposed to worship government. That is talking about making right with people you interact with, that you deal with. It's very simple. You have to read all 14 verses of the chapter to understand in its true context. I'm sorry, ran over. Oh, and I got 801. I know who this is.
You know, I argued that once in court, Romans, and it was a really surreal day in Conroe, Texas. I went up to the courtroom, and the place was packed. There wasn't even a place to sit. Every seat was taken. People were standing all the way around the courtroom benches, around the walls. There was a line out in front of the courtroom door. I thought, wow, they must have wrote a lot of traffic tickets this week. And you know who all those people, you know who they were? You know who all those people were? They were the people who showed up for jury duty on my case. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It's render under Caesar that which belongs to Caesar.
Right. That's always taken out of that they post one or two. They never read the entire chapters, and it's frustrating. Justin, you're a man. You have a huge law library. You can't just pick one sentence out and roll with it. You have to put everything in context.
That's the truth. Yeah. It doesn't say that you're to render under Caesar whatever he demands from you. That's not what is written in Paul's epistle, Romans. He was in jail writing that, you know. He was in jail when he wrote it. You ever been in jail? I've been in jail.
Yeah, I've been there before. It's not fun. We're not going to talk about that kind of stuff.
It could be worse. There's worse places. But, you know.
Yeah, there actually is. But a restriction of my freedom is pretty powerful. But you know where I'm coming from, Judson? You know, these people cherry pick like that seventh verse out of Romans 13 and think that's the gateway to, you know, mandating nationalism and patriotism.
Well,
they
want to burn me at the stake as a heretic, but I got a news blast for the planet Earth. The Bible, in its 1,300 pages, give or take, the whole story is not in the Bible. It's an extremely, extremely limited book. It's got a lot of stuff in there. Everybody who's ever read it knows that. But it's pretty limited, and it's very, very confusing. When I was about 27, 28 years old, I read it from page one all the way through to the end. And I had more questions I read it the first time. So I read it a second time.
The Bible is a different thing. You have to be like in prayer when you're reading it. You have to be connected with God. I mean, in reality, that's what it is. It's a book, but it's more than that. It's a faith, and it's an interaction with God Almighty.
Well,
you gotta put everything into it.
Slow down and breathe a little bit. I found that the Bible, and I read it from page one to the end seven times. And after reading the Bible seven times, I came to the conclusion that there was an awful lot of Canaanites, you know, these people we call Jews, the Canaanites who wrote these books in the Bible, in some instances, a few hundred years after Christ had been murdered.
Yes, that's true.
I think that there was a lot lost in the ensuing years. I think there was a lot lost, so much so that, you know, here's one that people have trouble accepting. But the tomb was empty, right? So I'm kind of thinking Jesus' body walked out of the tomb. I mean, they didn't carry away his body. I think he walked out of there in the flesh. That's why the tomb was empty. And people, that's a conversation all of its own. It gets really interesting when people start really getting down to the nitty-gritty of why Jesus was silenced. They killed him to shut him up,
the Pharisees shut him up. It was their doing.
The Jews.
It was the church and the government. The government just washed their hands. Pilate just washed his hands of it. And Pilate even stated, I don't know why this man has committed no crimes. I don't know why he is even here.
Well, remember when Pilate, you know, asked the crowd of Jews, you know, what they wanted? They said,
Barabbas.
Yeah.
Barabbas.
Give us
a guy. Give us Barabbas.
Yep, and let's murder Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So here's the question. This is why I called. If you were to have the opportunity to confront the judge and ask him, did you murder Christ? What do you think the judge would say?
Pilate would say, I washed my hands of it, and I did what they wanted. The people. I did it for the people.
So And that being said, we live in a day and age where we have this we the people kind of psychotic, delusional we the people statist.
They put government and men above God's law. That's the whole problem.
Yep.
Men are fallible. God is not. I built my world on a foundation of stone, not of sand.
The thing that
in the
really
law
is
in God's
difficult,
word.
What's really difficult for people to download is when you explain the 11th Amendment to them. That's the part where the states, multiple states, you can't hold them accountable for violations of the U.S. Constitution. They're all immune. They have state sovereign immunity, and you cannot prosecute civilly or criminally the states for constitutional violations. So we live in this statist state where everybody's so damn proud of the star flag there, you know, the space flag, and they're so in love with this thing called the Constitution, but they don't even realize the 11th Amendment has nullified it.
I pull it up. Here's Amendment 11. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the states by citizens of another state or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state.
Right. Doesn't apply to the states. They gave themselves immunity.
Well, basically, you're right. I mean, for the constitutionalists out there, basically that says, sorry, guys, you guys are citizens. You are subjects of the nation, and we are not. We have judicial power. We're not. We can't even be construed in any suit, law, or equity with you guys.
Well, it's like what's going to happen.
Because we say so.
It's what's going to happen to the, like the, it's you know, the Bundys and the Finicums are going to find out that when they try to sue the federal government for what happened, or when they try to sue the state of Oregon for what happened, is they're going to discover that state sovereign immunity prevents them from suing them. There is no constitutional right of a so-called citizen against the government of the United States. It doesn't exist.
There is none. All you see in there is little crumbs, petitions, and pleas.
The reason I'm mixing the Book of Romans to the 11th Amendment state sovereign immunity is people are living in this, you know, la la land dream world. It's a dream world.
Exactly.
It's just the dream world. And when you try to point that out to these statists, as you very well know, you know, the Trump bots want to kill you. The Trump bots literally want to rip you apart. They're like those Jews that are screaming for Baramus, right? Trump,
yeah, I got
you.
Hold on.
What I'm talking about when I say the Trump bots? Same with the ultra left wing Hillary supporters. You know, they're so in love with this government that is just without any. There's no consequence for the crooks. There's no consequence for these corrupt statist government leaders. It's a dream.
There is none. It's really sad. I go over this all the time, Judson. I mean, you know, this all ties in pretty much with should nationalism and patriotism be mandated. I'm a firm say, hell no. That's the problem we have, is this conforming, compliant. There's no independent free thought anymore. There's no rebellion. This country was allegedly founded on rebels, rebellion, not compliance and conformity to Big Brother.
Here's how fluoridated people are. I point out all the time that for 15 cents, for 15 pennies, you can print all the money you want. You never have to stop. For 15 cents. A $100 reserve note costs 15 cents. So you print one of them, and then you got $99.85 to print more. And then after you print the when you get to the 10th power, I mean, you've printed up trillions from 15 cents.
Hold on, slow down. It's my show too. You know, we're gonna roll back and forth. We're gonna have fun today. You said to the 10th power. 1 to the 10th power is such a huge phenomenal number. Just to put it in context, 1 to the 89th power is every particle in the multiverse.
The amount of fake money that they're controlling the world with. What's the world? What do they call it, standard currency?
the international reserve currency right now, the worldwide international reserve currency, is the U.S. Federal Reserve note.
Yeah, buddy. There you go. Yeah,
I didn't call it a dollar because it hasn't been a dollar since the 30s.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why they murdered John Kennedy, to stop him. He was starting to print silver certificates again, and, well, they splattered him all over Daley Plaza. Yeah. You can't make it up.
These are all verifiable facts. This is not conjecture. This is history. Research it. There's this thing called Google, and that's the big eye in the sky watching everything you do. But hey, you know, NSA's got everything. You tell people give you that. Like I said, like my wife always says, that glazed fluoride stare.
Well, I got a broadcast out of Palestine today. Anonymous has basically, you know, come to the conclusion that Donald Trump is the deep state.
Of course he is. I had that debate too, but I'm a heathen. You know, someone cherry picks one or two verses of a Bible. I post the entire chapter to put it in context, but I'm the heathen and I'm twisting things.
Well, I get this is what because...
this is. Go ahead, Judson. It's just hairballs to me.
I get in trouble because, as a human being, I'm riding around in intergalactic space, in a Milky Way universe, traveling at about the speed of light, in a likely multiverse that's without any end. And I've got to be plugged into a set of constants and so-called Christian facts. I'm sorry, but 1,300 pages just doesn't cover it for me.
It doesn't. It's a stepping stone. The Bible is a conduit to God Himself. Well, hopefully I'm gender proper there. I don't want to offend any liberal Christians.
I dropped the sexual reference to God. You know, when I want to refer to God, I don't have to say he. I can say God, you know. Because I'm not particularly certain exactly what form God actually takes. I believe God's an awful lot of love. God is love, right? And then, you know, God's a lot of energy.
You'll never get an argument from me. Every chapter talks about God's law and love your brother and love of God.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah.
But then I got these right fundamentalist Christians, you know, and these Zionists themselves, like Hagee, praying to Jesus for war with Iran.
You know, when
I mean,
Moses,
how do you deal with that?
When Moses went up on the mountain, you know, he went up on Ararat, and because he saw this brilliant light from the valley floor, and when he got up on the mountain, it was a burning bush, right? And the bush had a pretty interesting conversation with Moses. Now, everybody learns this stuff in Sunday school as kids. And how many times have you seen, what's that actor's name there? Charlton Heston come off the mountain with the blazing hair. You know, his hair is turned white and his face is burnt from talking to that burning bush. And the reason I raise this is, you know, if God has something to say, I'm pretty sure God can say it. He doesn't need men to speak for him. He's got his own voice. I mean, he created everything that there is, but he can't speak. I mean, that just doesn't wash with me.
Well, I'm glad you went on a good tangent roll because, believe it or not, Blog Talk or something, I got kicked out, had to recall back in. So thanks for not having me with dead air. I appreciate you, Judson.
I'd be willing to bet that there's some cabal members and, you know, some of the oligarchs that are literally peeing in their knickers.
They own
Las Vegas, you know.
You're always welcome to listen. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, call in if you guys want. I mean, Mr. and Mrs. NSA.
Yeah.
I'm here. Judson and I are just breaking it down.
Well, they can tell you all.
Are we
going to
keep cutting it up into little? Hey, Judson, we're going to keep cutting it up into little pieces so we can spoon feed everybody.
Where I learned about the NSA was when I was up at Brigham Young University there in Salt Lake.
Oh yeah.
You know, the people running Bluffdale Center, they're all Mormons and LDS. And the people that are running the cyber command base there at Fort Williams, they're all Mormon and LDS. Most of them have been to the MTC, you know, Missionary Training Center. They've all been on their missions. Holy smokes. You know, when you find out the NSA wears those white shirts and ties and rides around on bicycles and tries to tell you about this other testament of the Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, I was sitting in the Central Library at BYU there in Provo and had this kid just driving me nuts. He wanted to show me something. And I was really, really busy that day. This is back in 2008, by the way. This is 2 years before Snowden. And so he took me down to
the Snowden snow job? We'll get into that, too.
He took me down into the sub-basement. He took me four stories under the Central Library there in Provo, and he showed me where they were training all the LDS were training all the operators for the Bluffdale Center. You know, the big 6 million square foot supercomputer out there by. It's right next door to Fort Williams. It's on Interstate 80.
Oh, I know this is the street. They claim they only spent $4 or $5 billion on it, but you know they got flooded with a lot of black ops money. I'm going to put the price tag probably $20-25 billion conservatively.
Well, it doesn't it kind of unnerve you that the Mormons or the NSA? This isn't a joke. This is dead serious.
Well, it's all a joke. Look at the whole political landscape and the whole intelligence agency landscape. It's all well. I prefer to stick with the name I've been calling it for well over a decade, the shadow government. But if y'all feel more comfortable calling it the deep state, you can call it that. So when you know I'm saying shadow government, I'm referring to what you guys consider the deep state, because it's deeper than the deep state. It's an entire network in government.
This Islamic former CIA director, Brennan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he got his security clearance pulled. This is a former director of the CIA. I mean, Trump stripped him of his security clearances. This stuff's getting serious. And then you know, you'll notice that Cohen and Manafort both got found guilty, pled guilty, and they haven't been sentenced yet. And they're just
right.
You know, spilling they just can't wait to make a deal with the prosecutor to turn Trump's head in, you know.
Well, there's whispers holding out too that they're in cahoots with Trump and that they're going to cover for him and he's going to pardon them.
And then it gets back to that Cohen that made all the payments for the hookers and Stormy Daniels and I'm thinking to myself, is this U.S. government or is this an episode of Peyton Place? I mean,
of course it's Peyton Place. The government went to shit with in 1871. What little remnants that were tangible or good when they incorporated themselves through the Organic Act of 1871. It was total shit since then. Total shit.
Well, I don't want to get off it. You know, that's kind of like another whole show, but.
let's reset. Judson, should nationalism and patriotism be mandated?
Oh God, no. Hell no. I mean, you know, patriotism isn't something you can legislate. That's what Adolf Hitler did. That's what Benito Mussolini did, Joseph Stalin. I mean, probably Hirohito, the Caesars, damn sure, you know, the Caesars demanded that you, if you didn't salute Caesar or stand when he came around, man, they just drag you off and feed you to the lions. I mean, this statism stuff is dangerous. It's very, very dangerous.
I say that nationalism and patriotism are mental defects, of mental disorders. So statism, all collectivism is.
You ever study the schools that they force the Native American children to attend? You know, like after they Delano, the Secretary of the Interior, Delano. There in the period of the 1850s and 60s, just went on a murderous slaughtering campaign across the western United States. And in the aftermath of the murderous destruction of people who lived on this land for tens of thousands of years. Their kids were indoctrinated, brainwashed. They took their clothes. They cut their hair. They forced them to assimilate. And I find that the topic of this show is really talking about assimilation into that IRS, U.S. Treasury, Secret Service, U.S. government incorporated world of you will obey. It's dangerous.
Well, that's the same point I was trying to make to a fundamentalist right Christian. Oh, by the way, I'm going to put this in quotation marks, a licensed minister, by the way.
Oh, wow.
This person that I was talking to, this licensed minister, believes that man should be subservient to the laws of men before the laws of God, which is the biggest fallacy ever. I mean, you can have the argument there. And I just, every time I get these people that say, oh, yeah, obey your government, obey your leaders, obey, obey, obey. I always ask them, do you really think God Almighty himself would want you to put up with tyrannies like from Stalin or Mao or Hitler or Pol Pot?
Yeah, Pol
these
Pot.
Idi Amin, these evil personified. Do you really believe that God Almighty himself wants you to be subservient to that shit?
What was the man's name that was responsible for the first attempt on Hitler's life? He actually placed the bomb on the railroad car. I'm forgetting his name. I'm having brain freeze. He was the one that, you know, first started resisting Hitler. Can't think of his name. He took the world and the future of it into his own hands by carrying a bomb in an attaché case to eliminate Adolf Hitler. There was a group of young Germans, the White Rose Society, that began to speak out against such draconian totalitarianism of socialism, but I can't think of his name. We all have an obligation to seek out the truth, and if it's known, we are required to speak it. And we're in trouble tonight in the world. We're in a lot of trouble here, folks. That's why
yeah,
I call you this show. That's why I called in the show. You know, I could have laid here.
It's really like from Network. It's a Network episode. You know, when we're in a lot of trouble, when he goes off on the tangent talking about how few people read, and how everyone gets their information from, you know, the television. And that's all it is. It's little snippet bites.
Bonhoeffer, that's his name, Bonhoeffer. It finally came into my mind here. When Bonhoeffer began to resist Hitler, can you imagine if Bonhoeffer had just gone fishing and hadn't have bothered? Or better yet, can you hear the conversation between Jesus and his father? And Jesus says, you want me to do what?
You want
Jesus
me?
Jesus Christ, Dad.
What?
Dad, they'll kill me. They're going to kill me, Dad, if I speak the Bible.
You want me to do what? They're going to kill me over there.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate sacrifice.
Well, you don't think Jesus knew what he was in for?
Of course he knew what he was in for. Of course he did. And he took it willingly for our salvation.
Well, like I said, I'm the ordained minister that, you know, they all want to stone and burn at the stake as a heretic, but I got a news flash for the whole world. You ever hear that childhood saying, na 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 na, you didn't get me? You know where that you know where that got started, right? when the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. They did their best to kill him and shut him up, but I guess they kind of missed, didn't they?
Yeah, he had higher connections than any man on the planet. That's for sure. He was well connected.
I want to make a confession. I want to make a confession on your show, and this is as serious as it gets. Many years ago, back in the 1970s, I was driving in my 65 Lincoln Continental. I had a black Lincoln Continental, identical to the one in the Matrix. And driving northbound out of Glens Falls, New York, there was a traffic scenario where a logging truck full of logs drove right straight through my car with myself and Coach. You can look this guy up. Coach Michael McLaughlin, he was the soccer coach for the Lake George New York Elementary School. Everybody referred to him as Coach Mike. Mike was sitting on the passenger seat when the logging truck drove through my car. Now, Austin, I put my head down on the steering wheel. I thought, oh, man, I'm dead here. You know, I figured it wasn't going to hurt very long, so I just put my – I gave up. I put my head on the steering wheel, and nothing happened. I could feel the truck go through my body, though. I could feel it. And when I brought my head up off the steering wheel, I'm looking at Coach Mike. He's sitting in a passenger seat. He's white as a sheet, and he's just, you know, he's stammering over and over again. What happened? What happened? What the heck happened? He couldn't, you know, he was like in shock. And I couldn't explain it. You know, I don't know what happened, Austin. All I know is that the car wasn't scratched. There wasn't a dent in it. No broken glass. Nothing. But that, I mean, a big old international logging truck full of logs, right? Straight
yep.
through the car. Now, why did that happen? I really don't know. I can't tell you. But I can tell you it happened for sure.
Now, yeah, I've had some incidents that were very near-death experience. What myself, my little testimony, back in the day when I was carefree and not in the Word of God and not a real man and my house was built on sand and not stone when I OD'd. I had a little afterlife. I had a little demons talking to me, and that gave me a straightening up with a quickness.
You know,
I OD'd. I should have came back.
When I compare the burning bush to that logging truck, people need to listen very closely. What's being discussed on this show right now is a global cabal run by oligarchs.
It is.
It's so biblical in scale, this endless it's an enslavement. When you can print all the money you want from 15 cents, you own all the people. The people are serfs living on the manor. They're slaves upon the plantation. And we're talking a global reservation. You know, as Russell Means used to say, welcome to the reservation. This story is even bigger than the story of the slaves in Pharaoh's Egypt. You know, when Moses was
this,
mad
you're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct. The whole world is in bondage to this nationalism and patriotism shit.
And central banks and paper fiat currency. And by
well, yeah,
God,
but
if you
see,
think
you
I'm
have,
fooling
you,
around.
You have to lay the groundwork, and you have to make the people believe in something, even if it's false,
well,
over,
you know,
over,
the first
over
time,
love and God and truth.
Well, the first time you get audited by the IRS over those fiat reserve notes, you know, it makes a believer out of you. Boy, them IRS guys, they take those reserve notes real serious.
Absolutely.
And this
because
was the
just,
one
they're
that
part
was...
of the control system themselves.
Well, it's literally like, you know, Mr. Anderson, you know, the agents and the constructs.
Matrix.
Yeah. That's what hit me so hard about that film was that black Lincoln Continental. I mean, I had one identical to it. Identical. And look where we are today.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You know, and I know you're my friend, so we'll set that groundwork. But have I shoveled any bullshit on this show tonight?
No, it's pretty much straightforward. It's pretty much obvious. And I'm sorry. I read the entire chapter of Romans 13.
Something.
The entire chapter. The whole 24 verses or 18 verses. I forgot. Forgive me, God. I mean, I forgot how many verses is in Romans 13 that I read in the entirety. People, quit cherry picking. I can cherry pick out of the Constitution and make it look like the most glorious document men ever put together. Then we read further on and we see the truth. We see the evil behind the veil, and how this is a construct, and how it's a psyop to control the people from the very beginning.
Well, that's what this broadcast out of Palestine was all about: is how Trump is a psyop, and his draining of the swamp is a psyop, and how who's really pulling the strings in an American government tonight is Israel. That's who's really pulling the strings.
It has been for decades. This is nothing new. They pulled up. All I hear from the right is Obama was, you know, this Muslim. He kowtowed to the Zionists. He did. All presidents. Going back to FDR. I mean, go back to, I don't know, Judson. The Zionist influence has had its hand on our government, or your government, I'm not going to claim it, on the United States Government Incorporated. That's what we should really say, because that's really what it is. It's an incorporated entity from 1871.
Yep.
So we'll call it the United States Government Incorporated itself. Is the number one influence is a foreign lobby. But it's really not foreign. It's this international web of the money changers, the banksters, the gangster banksters.
Which brings me to the Robert Morgan story. Did you follow any of the Robert Morgan story up in Pennsylvania and New York? He's got the He's got the Federal Housing Finance Administration Inspector General Lars Hansen got search warrants and arrest warrants, and you know it's unfolding as we speak. But the central theme to hundreds and hundreds of millions of reserve notes being stolen again is like in Lisa Thomas's case. It's a bunch of faked records. That's how they do it. They fake a bunch of records associated with their financial scheming and scamming, and using all these fake records and fake reports and, you know, mortgage electronic registration, they literally steal so much money, it's mind-bending. And the thing that is blatantly glaring obvious tonight in America is when Cohen and Manafort and I can't remember the name of that other clown. The campaign chairman and all the little pals of Donald Trump that pled guilty the last couple of days.
Why is this psyop of the Russians did it still going on? They're actually finding some real corrupt stuff that these people did, and it's nothing about collusion with Russian for elections. It's about dirty laundry.
In front of the eyes of all the little children in America, they roll out this disgusting XXX would be, you know, an underrating, this Stormy Daniels. Have you ever watched any of her porno?
I watched a little bit of one. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's raunch. It's total raunch. And you've got this raunchy porn star and in the face of all the little children in America. And this raunchy porn star and the raunchy porn star and the president, right? And this is supposed to be the glorious world of Donald Trump that the Trump bots. I mean, the Trump bots will
murder you. Right, right. I refer to that again. These Trump bots that are trying to infer that, like, the Trumpster is, like, supposed to be the second coming. I don't think so.
No, I have to agree.
I said, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. You can put me down as a skeptic on that one.
Yeah, well, they probably have contracts on them, both of us now. I am not in the mood. I did today, very definitely. And then, you know, I wallpapered the whole planet with my letter to Lars Hansen. Now, he's got a gold badge, and he's the inspector general of one of the largest financial sections of the Justice Department, Federal Housing Finance Administration. And, I mean, this guy is serious. I mean, this is a serious thing. He's pulling a bunch of Microsoft email accounts. And, I mean, they're getting deep into this
AI. Right.
They're getting deep into Robert Morgan and these hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in these apartment complexes. How they use the apartment complexes, like they flip around houses and flip around condominiums and, you know, flip around business parks and rob the nation blind.
Now, then bundle it all up. Hold on. And then they bundle it all up in these toxic derivative mortgage bundles. And then they resell these bad mortgages tenfold. And then there's a $1.5 quadrillion dollar bubble that's ready to burst with these toxic derivatives. And everyone's like, la-di-da, the Russians did it. Look at Stormy Daniels.
Well, the thing is they use all that money, they use all those reserve notes to buy the election site. They buy the elections. They buy the whole system. Because they can
make
as much money.
Speaking of which, there was an 11-year-old girl that they did a mirror of the voting machines, a mirror image of it. That's in 18 states.
Correct.
She hacked it in less than 30 minutes, and she had like Mickey Mouse beating Daffy Duck, 75% to 25%. I mean, this is the real world we live in, gang. If you don't think that these elections are manipulated and they're going to point the finger at the Russians, please.
It's the Federal Reserve. It's the Federal Reserve doing it because they.
Of course it is. Did you see what when Representative Grayson was talking to the vice secretary, number two for the Federal Reserve, under Bernanke at the time, questioning where did 9 trillion, not billion, trillion, Where did this $9 trillion go? I don't know. We're looking into that.
The Pentagon's missing more. The Pentagon's missing more. And, the Pentagon's missing 9 or 10 trillion as well. And the
let's go on the low side. Let's call it 6.5 to 10 trillion. We'll call it 6.5 on the low end. And $9 trillion, that's $15.5 trillion. What's this so-called deficit that the people in this geographic location owe the government?
You know how Catherine Austin Fitz is? Catherine Austin Fitz, she's using the number $50 trillion.
Yeah,
Catherine Fitz. Well, she was only the secretary of, or she was assistant secretary of the HUD, and then she was the secretary of the FHA under George Bush.
Well, you know what they
Catherine
do? They put Bernanke there as a puppet, same as they do as the Trumpster. Hillary Clinton, same as they did for Obama. They're not calling the shots, folks. They're not.
They're
faces and puppets. They're actors.
We've got this organized crime syndicate that are basically in control of this statist government. And at the same time, we're even discussing legislating and putting into law that you have to worship the system.
That's what they're doing. Look at the game that Colin Kaepernick, this guy that made $22 million. He's some bad guy because he won't kneel for some magical song. So what?
You know why he takes the knee, right? Did you see the veteran that was so mad at him, and then the veteran went to talk to Kaepernick, and he so moved Colin Kaepernick to take a knee, like taking a knee in prayer in a sports team. You know, the football players take a knee all the time.
Right.
And so Kaepernick started taking the knee. You know, rather than just not standing up, he took the knee.
You're right. The thing about it is you're right. A veteran told him to do so, gave him the idea.
Correct. Yep.
That seems to get lost on all these patriots and nationalists. They seem to lose focus when you present them with these facts.
You mean the Trump bots that worship the NFL?
Trumpster has a vendetta against the NFL from his UFL days, because they wouldn't let him be part of the NFL.
I just think that Donald Trump doesn't want to talk about all the missing trillions. I think the Federal Reserve and FBI and Jeff Sessions, they don't want to talk about all this money that's been stolen. They don't want to talk about the Clinton Foundation. They want to investigate they're actively investigating the Trump Foundation tonight, and the Clinton Foundation is crickets. They do not want Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton to be scrutinized, because that leads right to the Bushes. It leads right to the Bushes.
Yeah, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Trumpster, they're all one big happy family. If you believe otherwise, you're fooling yourself, like that Styx song.
Elliot Spitzer, Neil Bromsky. I mean, this stuff goes so deep into Janet Yellen and Alan Greenspan. I mean, but the thing that is so powerful is you and I speak here tonight, and whoever's listening, this is biblical in scale. This isn't like a few hundred thousand dollars that got robbed by a couple of guys with Thompson machine guns. I mean, these sons of bitches. There's a story that's called "The Men Who Crashed the World."
Yes, it's a great, great, great documentary.
I've watched it
a few times myself.
And, you know, biblically, Austin, can you imagine the numbers of children that could be clothed and housed and given medical treatment and fed with the kind of money that these sons of bitches have stolen?
Yeah, Judson, we're going to hold on that note. I want you to repeat what you said before I go to break. We'll take a few minutes break, thank our sponsors that we voluntarily work with. But like Judson said, I want you to think, proposed, what could be done with all the trillions and trillions. And in reality, it's equity because it's work. It's equity from the entire planet. And they rate it with these notes, with money. Well, it's not even money anymore. It's fiat currency, fiat for the nation.
It's human slavery.
It's what it really is. Hang tough, everyone. We're going to be back in a few minutes. We want to thank our sponsors, including our great friends at Dabco Transportation. We love and appreciate you guys.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up, and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouse, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dabco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dabco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dabco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dabco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dabcotrans.com. That's dabcotrans.com.
But I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
This is indeed a disturbing universe.
Yes, all I'm offering is the truth. Not Unraveling the Matrix with me, your host, Austin Thomas. Yeah, we like to mess with the taboo stuff that you're not going to hear or see on the lamestream media. Now that you're awake, be aware. Be aware what's in play. CIA and Mossad banking, money laundering, and international organized crime joint venture. Imagine that.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
Well, we know how these elections are all on the straight and narrow worldwide.
Unraveling the Matrix with Austin Thomas. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emergence Radio Network.
I'm hoping that they're listening to us here on Truth Emerges Network.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work.
When you go to church, when you pay your taxes, it is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
You're listening to Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Join second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
All right. Back here on Guerrilla Radio, gang. Thanks for hanging around for a couple minutes there. Should nationalism and patriotism be mandated? Judson left us with a question before we went to break. I hope that at least you turned it around in your mind. What could be done with all these trillions of dollars that have been looted? What could be done with $1.5 quadrillion that's tied up in toxic mortgage bundles? Sold over and over and over again.
You know what Catherine Fitz says? Catherine Austin Fitz says they want to keep those trillions, and they want to implement on this planet a slavery system where, obedience to the cabal, the state, obedience to the central government, to the world government, obedience to the New World Order will be enforced with all this stolen money.
Of course.
In other words, I don't want to give...
It's leverage. It's leverage. The mark of the beast is coming. It's already in action. There's already companies using it.
Yeah, it's already here. Yep.
It's already here.
And I don't want to give any credit to Alex Jones, but they want to finance a prison planet. That's what they're doing. They are literally enslaving the whole world to pay back all this debt. There's only one way the debt can be repaid, and that's to extract it out of the human resources.
Right. We've covered that ad nauseum too. The mineral wealth of the planet, the water. I mean, the minerals of the planet itself. Not to mention the resources of the humans on this planet and their labor, their slavery.
What do you think Moses would think of all this?
I know Moses is up in heaven just doing a face palm, continual face palm, looking down.
Yep. What do you think Jesus would think of the money changers and the bankers and the lawyers?
Well, we all know that Jesus at the temple grabbed the whip, flipped tables, was chasing around the money changers.
Yeah, he didn't like
the lawyers. Yeah, what would Jesus do?
He didn't like the lawyers. Well, if you stop and think of all this,
he didn't like the Pharisees either. The Pharisees tried to trick Jesus, and that's another verse taken out of context where Jesus flipped the script on them and shut down the Sadducees and Pharisees. He flipped the script on them. And everyone points to that, too, like, render unto Caesar. Screw Caesar. Screw any man. There's no man above me on this planet. I am the king of myself. No one else is. I am the ruler of myself. No one else is except God. Here on the earth as men, nobody. But God is my ruler.
So
God is my rock.
Understand.
God is my foundation.
You understand the fraud of the so-called sovereign citizen then, right?
Well, a sovereign citizen is totally impossible. Let's break this down logically and look at the definitions. A sovereign is a king or ruler or an emperor. A citizen is a subject of a nation. You cannot be both at the same time. It is totally impossible.
So you understand the difference between a freeman and a free man.
Of course, I'm a free man in God's law.
Right. They use language to control people. People don't understand the distinction between a freeman and a free man. But it's so similar that people's brains just are mostly mush from the fluoride and the alcohol, you know, Miller Time and Budweiser. And then, of course, you got
all
the marijuana.
Yeah, don't forget the big pharma drugs. Don't forget all the good big pharma drugs. And the 25% of the United States population on antipsychotic drugs.
Yeah,
we're not
going to
get into all that.
The opioid crisis, right? The opioids.
Yeah, and we got on the weed, on the herbs that God gave us in the Bible for our use. But it's okay, man. Let's crank out that synthetic crap.
Well, let's ask this question. What would they do to your radio show if, enforced statism and this enforced worshiping of the corporation, what do you think they would do to your radio program?
Oh, it's coming. They mess with me now, but they would shut me down, of course. They don't want people bearing real facts of history and entire chapters of the Bible and breaking them down and using logic and reason and understand, not stand under. I understand. I don't stand under anybody. But I comprehend. We'll use that word instead.
Now, isn't it puzzling that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, the grand wizards of all, they're not talking about what we've addressed in this show?
Not a peep.
Julian Assange, no, not a peep. And Alex Jones is silent, and David Icke's or
not
Icke,
a peep.
How do you say that? Not a
David,
peep. And,
David Icke, yeah. They're all silent on this, on the real facts. I hate to say it. I mean, and I don't believe that Alex Jones should have been deplatformed and censored, but I believe that these people, for the most part, are gatekeepers. Now, that's my opinion from going down too many rabbit holes, from looking at the actual evidence, the facts, and history. That is the conclusion that I've drawn.
So you know that I'm the director of the National Swap Trading Administration. That's my title. And I can tell you that Donald Trump isn't addressing what we've discussed on this program. And he's supposed to be the big swap trading meister, you know. But he wouldn't touch his stuff.
The swap.
Yeah, he wouldn't touch his stuff with a 10-foot pole. Because it's too damn true. It's too true.
Well, I bring this stuff up on his tweets. I'm sure that he's gonna block me soon.
Well,
I bring up all
these
things.
See, that's another thing. I put out a bunch of stuff today that like cuts right to the bone, and people are writing me tonight that when they go to try to visit the link, that Facebook is not allowing them to open the page and warning them that it's a dangerous site.
Yeah, dangerous site, fake news, all this crap that these people buy.
Yeah. So
I mean, what is fake news? We've got Facebook, which is the largest worldwide social media site, which is backdoored by the CIA.
Right.
Which is being censored and controlled by a Zionist.
You know, if you and I had just $1 trillion, we could turn the world on its ear, couldn't we?
Oh,
They'd be in a lot of trouble if old Judd Witham had a trillion in his war chest. I mean, holy smokes. I'll guarantee you one thing. Jeff Sessions would be gone. What a little worm. That guy's nothing but a worm.
Oh, he makes me puke in my mouth a little bit every time I listen to him. Listening to him supporting asset forfeiture, laying it out for the Trumpster with a bunch of sheriffs. Who'd be against that? Who'd be against taking your shit without due process, without any process? Not even have to charge you.
The most dangerous people we have in the country are those potheads, you know. The potheads are horrible. Jeff, I mean, we gotta wage a war against marijuana, because going after the bankers would be too much.
Look over there, like you do in your videos all the time. Look over there.
God.
No, look over there. Look over there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Be distracted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got a problem with these NFL players kneeling for the national anthem.
Oh God,
horrible. You know, I mean, you know, these horrible pot smokers. I mean, they're so terrible. And these people that it's, you know, believe that they own themselves. They believe in self ownership and individualism. These people are dangerous.
I'm telling you. Freedom,
I mean, you
should
know,
be outlawed. We got to pass a law about
this
freedom, so. You know.
Yeah, freedom should be outlawed. Yeah, the nationalism and patriotism mandated. Now you're supposed
right.
to get up. First thing you do in the morning is pledge allegiance to the flag.
Well,
then after you do two or three pledges, and then you got to sing the national anthem. You know, you got to play that a couple times. Now you're ready for the day.
Well, you know who started this whole, you know, I can remember just a little while after my oldest brother took his own life back in 1973, just a couple of months after my brother committed suicide, I was in the gymnasium at Lake George Central School, you know, the school where Rachel Ray used to go to my high school. But I'm sitting in the middle of the gymnasium. I wouldn't stand up for the pledge. Hell, I'm like a, I don't know, 14-year-old kid. And I get attacked by the football coach and drug out of the gymnasium in front of the entire school, saw this scene, right? And I got taken down to the principal's office because I didn't stand up for the pledge. And, I mean, this football coach was violent. He was very violent. And at the time he did that to me,
Judson, before you finish your story. I'll let you finish the story, but remember, he was doing that for your freedom and liberty. It was for your own good.
Well, what I'm saying here is Kaepernick didn't start this wave. I did. And I'm sure there were people before me that, you know, I'm sure there people before me. Before me, that it had enough. Well, think of the Confederacy, you know, the South versus the North. They didn't particularly like that Star Spangled Banner either. And so this has been going on in this country a long time.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know,
this goes goes back to.
It goes way the hell back. The British didn't like it. The British didn't like the Stars and Bars either. They wouldn't stand up and say the pledge. This is an old problem in America. And it literally is biblical. What we're talking about through this whole show is biblical in scale.
It is.
I don't give a damn what. I don't care what Ben Bernanke thinks. Ben Bernanke can go to hell, you know.
Reminds me of an old anarchist, a black lady named Lucy Parsons from the 1860s. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is one of her most famous quotes. It's never be deceived that the rich will allow you to vote away their wealth.
Yeah,
the stuff we talk about isn't new. This has been talked. The Rothschilds and company have had this shit in the works since Baron Lord Rothschild back in the day said I care not who controls the the you know, the empire, as long as I control the money.
Well,
what is that quote, Justin? I'm having
M's.
A brain freeze.
That's M's, whatever his name, Rothschild. That was the Rothschild. Give me the control of the issuance of money, and I care not who makes the law.
Here's the actual quote. It's Meyer Amstel Rothschild. Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation. I care not who makes its laws.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, when you stop and think about, you know, I used to play basketball with Richard Ray. Years ago when Rachel Ray used to ride my school bus up at Diamond Point on Lake George, my brothers and our family were pretty good friends with the Jekylls. And, you know, Jekyll Island, those Jekylls.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, they own U.S. Catheter Corporation, and they had so much money, it was mind-bending. I mean, just they live like kings and sultans. And
they all got together on this island, and
Jekyll Island
gave birth to the International Reserve. I mean, to the Federal Reserve.
The thing that just wigs everybody out when you tell them that when the first $100 bill, the first one that costs 15 cents, you never have to stop printing money. You can print all the money in the history of the world for 15 cents. And people just don't believe you. They don't realize the implication of that. They're running the world on monopoly money. And hell, people will kill each other to get their hands on it. I mean, come on. No, shit, yeah.
Of course.
I mean, they're just the love of money, especially fiat money. The love of fiat money is the root of all evil. Oh, God. And Moses says, amen, by the way. I just heard that loud and clear. I could hear Moses. I could hear Moses way in the back going, amen, brother. Preach it. Preach it, brother.
We're going to preach
it. We're having
it.
A little fun.
But it actually is. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows.
I think that this particular program will, you know, be on the top of the stack of papers in my dossier.
We're breaking it down as we always do. Listen, Judson, I'm not feeling 100%. I'm going to cut it short here. We did about an hour and a half. I want to thank you for calling in. Thank all the listeners. And I think at least Judson and I came to the conclusion that could nationalism and patriotism be mandated? I think we both give a resounding hell no.
Oh, hell no. Preach it. Preach
hell
it.
Hell no. Peace out, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thanks to all the listeners. Love you guys. We appreciate you here at Truth Emerges Network. I'll see y'all again Saturday, 6 p.m. on Unraveling the Matrix. Till then, everybody, deuces. We out.